Welcome, ghosts and ghouls, to Danica Raven's Bite-Size Horror. Whether you're celebrating Yuletide, Krampusnacht, Hanukkah, I have a festive story for you. A creepy Christmas story called Behind the Christmas Tree by William Sampson. If you're sitting comfortably, we shall begin. He was not what you'd call the popular image of an elf. At just over a metre tall, he was nothing like one of Santa's helpers that are found in films or at the department store grottos. Sure, he had pointed ears, but his ears came to points that were as sharp as needles. His nose was also sharp. It was long and pointed and sharp as a razor. His nose was so long it almost touched his pointed chin. His hair was messy. His beard was messy. And it all had the look and texture of something like hedgehog bristles and porcupine quills. His knees and elbows were also jagged, which seemed a proper fit to go with his spindly limbs. He did not wear clothes. He did not need to, as his skin was as tough as hide and protected him from the elements. Its colour was a mix of green and shades of black. What he did wear was a leather satchel, which he slung about his neck, and it hung down to below his waist. The creature had made up his own name. He liked to be called Skelf. And perhaps the most striking feature about him was his eyes. They were red, and he never seemed to blink. It was late on Christmas Eve. The children were in bed and Melissa was in the living room. The house had one of those old-fashioned marble fireplaces, which she loved, and the children's stockings were hanging from its mantelpiece. There was not much of a fire now, just the glow of embers. It was just the ideal place for a traditional Santa Claus to make his entrance down the chimney. Melissa had turned off the room lights, so the only other illumination was from the fairy lights on the big Christmas tree in the corner. She always bought a real tree and decorated it lavishly. This year, she'd bought a huge tree with lots of thick branches on it and a strong smell of pine. Melissa was a big fan of Christmas, and she thought her living room looked like a traditional Christmas scene. Her husband was working abroad, so she was left alone with the children this year. She missed them terribly, but she was determined to give the kids as good a Christmas as possible. At least that was her plan. Melissa was dressed for bed, and she really only had one more job to do before retiring, and that was to put the presents under the tree for Ace and Audrey. As she picked up a box from the middle of the floor, she noticed a little movement out of the side of her eye. She couldn't tell what it was. Perhaps it was caused by some hot air rising from the fire, and it moved one of the tree branches. Whatever it was not moving now. Melissa moved to place the box under the tree, and it was just as her face brushed one of the lower branches, she noticed two red lights glowing in the darkness near the back of the tree that she did not remember placing. They were just a little out of reach, so Melissa decided to get another parcel to place under the tree and would try to get nearer to examine the strange red lights. Melissa picked up another package and placed it at the foot of the tree. She got on all fours and crawled into the foliage. She could no longer see the red lights. They were gone. This unnerved her, but she continued to push the branches apart. But very quickly, she decided that messing about with a Christmas tree in her nightie was a bad idea. It was not a long journey, but it was an awkward one as she reversed out from under the tree. Suddenly she felt a hand grab her ankle, and she was being pulled violently backwards into the middle of the floor. It was all she could do to catch her breath. Melissa twisted round as best she could, and she saw Skelf standing over her. She had a sudden realisation of what was happening. Terror quickly took hold of her emotions. The urge to scream rushed into her mind, and she opened her mouth. Skelf was too quick for her. Before she could utter a sound, he had pounced on her and forced a cold, dead rat into her open mouth. The urge to gag and then vomit were the next sensations that Melissa felt. Frantically, she tried to push this horrible creature away, but her hands were stung by his porcupine-like hair. It was agony, and she couldn't even cry out in pain because the rat shoved in her mouth. In desperation, she even pulled at his sharp pointed ears, and that hurt even more. A moment later, everything went black. Skelf had brought a carver dining chair from the hall, and Melissa was sitting in it. Her wrists were tied to the arms of the chair, and her ankles to the legs. The rat had been removed. Melissa gradually regained consciousness. She was still in the living room. She was bound to a wooden chair with what looked like colourful ropes. The fire was glowing, so not a lot of time had passed, and she was still alive. She saw Skelf was floating in midair a couple of metres from her, watching her with those intense red eyes. Her thoughts soon turned to the children, and panic took hold. Skelf leapt forward and put his face next to hers. "Don't scream," he ordered in his raspy voice, "or I will use this again." Pushing the rat into Melissa's face as he spoke, she nodded. Skelf pushed his pointy nose into her right ear and said, "Look at your wrists, you stupid human." She glanced down and now saw that her colourful bindings were not ropes, but snakes. The type of snakes that constrict its prey. And these two were practicing on her. She could sense her fingers going numb. Melissa pleaded, "Why are you doing this?" Skelf was angry. "You saw me. You're not supposed to see me, you stupid human. I'm trying to survive. I've done nothing to you. Shut up, shut up. Please, I've got children. Do you want me to do this to them?" Skelf said with malevolence. "No, leave them alone. I recommend you sit perfectly still for this next bit. You don't like spiders, do you?" Melissa shook her head. Skelf put his hand into his satchel and pulled out a tarantula. He placed it on Melissa's bare skin just below her neck. Her fear factor was now intolerable. "Where will it go? Up your face? Or if I pull this little strap, will it make its way under your nightdress? While it sits here and makes up its mind, let me tell you about me." Melissa, having no choice, was rigid with terror. "I don't eat or drink as you know it. I survive on fear. The more scared you are, the more of a feast I have. Human fear is the best, but children's fear is the absolute best. They are easy to scare. I can scare a child and I will be full for months. I only need to be close. They don't even need to see me. I was hiding in the tree. So when your children open this green box, among their presents, out will burst some snakes. That should terrify them on Christmas morning. I would feel their young terror, remove every evidence, and be gone. But you had to spoil it. If an adult sees me, I have to terrify them before daybreak. If I don't, the powerful one will kill me. It is the rules of being an elf. But after it's all over, I cast a charm and I wipe their memory. Everything was planned and then you saw me. So now I have to feast on your fear." Skelf picked up the spider, which had not moved, and brushed it against Melissa's face, then threw it on the dying fire where he watched it struggle in the coals. He clapped his ugly little hands, and the snakes around Melissa's wrists vanished, and she fell asleep. "I hope the powerful one doesn't grab me before I've tidied up," Skelf thought. But from out of thin air, a giant hand grabbed Skelf and he shouted, "I haven't finished! I haven't cleared up!" But the hand pulled him away bodily into a void. Melissa woke and wondered why she was on the floor, and why her wrists were sore. On leaving the room, she noticed a little green box. She did not recognise it, and wondered who it was from and what was in it. She shrugged. "The kids will find out in the morning," she said to herself. That was Behind the Christmas Tree. Big thank you to William Sampson for sending it in to us. He doesn't usually do horror. In fact, the last project I worked on Mr. Sampson with was The Adventures of Leonard Biscuit, which is a fun wee radio show, very much of the comedy variety. So if you'd like to hear some more of William's work, please do check out The Adventures of Leonard Biscuit. But in the meantime, grab yourself a cup of eggnog, open some of those last presents and enjoy yourself a turkey sandwich. This has been Danica Raven. Have a good night and pleasant screams.